This is Waddle and Sylvie.
Baseball. I mean, like, he just keeps telling me how he's going to be bummed if the World Series ends tonight.
Yeah, a lot of us will be bummed. Yeah.
Afternoons from 2 to 6.
Tommy Baseball these days.
I love postseason baseball.
On ESPN Chicago.
Adam Amin's going to join us here shortly. I just read the press release, Waddle, from ESPN. I think there's like 12 different versions of the megacast. And Adam Amin, our good friend, who's from Chicago.
He's doing them all. He's got a piece of all of them.
He's going to be everywhere. One part of the game will be in the booth. The next part of the game, he's actually going to be calling plays for LSU.
If anybody could do it, it's him.
And then the second quarter, he'll be calling plays for Clemson. Third quarter, he's officiating the game. And then in the fourth quarter, he's getting the championship trophy ready to go.
At any point, will he do an Ed Orgeron imitation?
I don't know. Maybe. But in all seriousness, here's what it says. He's going to be on ESPN2, part of the field pass on ESPN2. Free-flowing commentary of the game, anchored by Adam Amin and Steve Levy, who will roam the sidelines of the Superdome. Multiple guests will join Amin and Levy throughout the telecast, including college football analyst Pat McAfee and Dan Orlovsky. Field pass will once again be offered as an alternate pregame show on ESPN2. That's my favorite megacast, not just because it's mean and our good friend, but I like that.
I think you and I should roam the streets of the French quarters and do our own mega cash while the game's going on.
Yeah. We could do what
Hurricane
time. Before we get to Adam really quick, though, the top story today was the Major League Baseball suspensions and other penalties on the Houston Astros. Jeffrey Luhnow and A.J. Hinch were suspended for a full year as a part of the cheating investigation that the Astros used in 2017 and even beyond. Then Jim Crane, their owner, fired them. So they're suspended for 2020. And they are no longer on the Astros. So they'll be free to sign with another team after their suspension. They've also been fined $5 million. That's the maximum you could fine a team by the collective bargaining standards. And they've been docked a first and a second round draft
pick. You know what would be a ballsy move? If whoever takes over the team, they do the same thing this year.
We're just going to keep banging that garbage can.
Hey, listen, that's right. You can penalize us all you want. This is who we are. Because this
is what Belichick does.
They got warned earlier, didn't they, by the commissioner's office? Yeah. Don't do this. They did it.
So Adam Amin is great with his football calls. You hear him on radio and television and tonight on ESPN2. But he does every sport, including baseball. And I believe he's had Astro games before. Adam, what was your big reaction when you heard of the suspensions and then the firings?
Unprecedented, right? I mean, to see Major League Baseball take this type of stand against what a lot of people are looking at as an affront to the game, frankly. I don't know if this is a proper conflation. I don't know if this is wrong to compare the two things, but a lot of people are looking at this like use of steroids. They're like, well, listen, we're not going to put guys like this in the Hall of Fame because it's performance-enhancing substances. This has long been looked at as something as an affront to the game. You can steal signs. That's as old as the game is, but that's with players using their own wits and their own observations and relaying things to their teammates. This seems, with the use of the technology that seemingly Houston was using throughout these key games over the course of a couple of seasons, this seems a little unprecedented. And it's a hard place to navigate through right now, because we haven't seen anything like this before. But I was surprised, but at the same time, not by what Major League.
And it sounds, Adam, like the...
Let's get a better sell. He's on his way to the Dome right now. I believe Sean McDonough's in the car with him as well. And he's got the radio call tonight right here on ESPN 1000. We'll be your home for tonight's national championship between LSU and Clemson. This is going to be a great game, Waddle.
I think so, too. I think this is... I don't think this is going to be a blowout. I really don't. I mean, I like both of these teams. Again, I don't think, as I said last week, I don't think there's a white hat and a black hat here.
There's not.
I think
it's just if you're a football guy, you should love it.
Right. And listen, not that I like Alabama, but Alabama sometimes seems to play the role of, you know, the villain.
Right.
But there doesn't seem to be a villain on either side.
Adam, you were still breaking down the baseball. So let me ask you this. What was more surprising to you, that they were suspended for a year or that they were fired?
I think the firing, the suspension seemed appropriate. Like I said, a little surprised. I did not expect Jim Crane to do it so quickly. With this story breaking today and within hours say, we need to move on from this. We accept the punishment. That's not necessarily a common thing we see from ownership, you know, in professional sports, in particular in Major League Baseball. It's often we stand by this person. We think we can learn from this experience. We're going to try to make this person better in our organization. And to just say, we're moving on. We don't want to deal with these two people in our organization, Brandon Taubman as well. We need to accept the punishment and try to advance forward beyond this. And apparently in the press conference, it was tough. It was tough for Jim Crane to kind of get these words out at times. It was clearly emotional for him. So I think that's the part that probably surprised me more.
Sounds like the Red Sox may be up next with regard to the commissioner's office.
Yeah, I will be very curious to see if Boston has any punishment coming its way. Alex Cora, obviously, as you guys, I'm sure, have already detailed, kind of the, I mean, I hate using the word mastermind to make it sound maybe more nefarious than what it is in a sport, you know, in a sport, but that's seemingly what we're looking at here. So I'll be interested to see if Boston suffers any punishment in the next, probably the next couple of months, I would imagine, with the investigation ongoing.
Hey, before, Adam, we get to tonight's game, how about what you saw this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, on the NFL front?
Oh, man. Quarterback play stuck out, huh? I mean, between Mahomes and Rodgers yesterday, the quick strike capability of Kansas City is not something that should be shocking to anybody. This is what we've always known. And then Tennessee, I saw Tennessee in Week 17, you know, granted against a shorthanded Houston team, and I thought, you know what? This is a team that has enough firepower on defense. They got have a great pass rush. Guys like Correa, nobody's talking about Jarrell Casey with their ability to stop the run. And with Derrick Henry, those are things that travel, right? In playoff football.
Maybe tough with him going to the dome. And I'm sure it's Sal Howell with so many people in a small space. So it's fine, Abdallah. If we can, we'll catch up with Amin another time.
Maybe he can recap the title game for us tomorrow.
So catch him on ESPN2. And it's the Mega Cast. You could scroll. They always have the coach's film room, too, don't they?
They have something for everyone. They really do.
Yeah, I found it right here. So ESPN2 is where Adam Amin's going to be with Steve Levy. You've got the coach's film room. That's on ESPNU.
Who's going to be? Which does it list the coaches involved with that?
It does not. Not on the thing that I'm looking at here. Command Center on ESPN News, where you'll have multi-angle presentations, four different vantage points at any one time, statistics and real drive time charts supplementing the game action.
You're going to get Mike Gundy, Jeff Haley from Boston College. Jeff Hafley. Derek Mason from Vanderbilt.
Did you say Haley?
Hafley.
It's Hafley.
Yeah, Hafley. And Gary Patterson from TCU.
Nice. I like it.
People seem to like that because these coaches...
Didn't Fitz do it one time? Did Fitz do it?
I think you're right. Yeah, I think either last year or the year before.
I think it's great that you get a coach's perspective as things are going on. And again, I would be shocked if tonight's game is a rout on one side or the other. I'm expecting, and I'm no college football expert, but I'm expecting a really dramatic, close, well-played game.
The coaches' channel is good if you have coaches who are willing to be honest.
Right.
Because sometimes you'll get guys who recognize that they're on TV and they don't want to ruffle any feathers. And so if they're all going to be like that, it's not as entertaining.
So you're saying it could turn into the coach speak channel?
Yes, it could. Some years it's been great, depending on how candid you have.
Well, that's a pass, and in that situation, they decide whether to run it or to throw it. They decided to throw it. In certain situations, that pass could be completed. In other situations, it's not going to be completed, but they chose to pass.
Or if they all just talk about how great Joe Burrow and Trevor Lawrence are, then at a certain point, you're like, okay, this is good, but maybe I'll just go watch Amin on ESPN2.
If you want coach speak, Dad's going to be on the pregame and the halftime show.
Just yelling at people with Dr. Pepper in his hands.
It's on ESPN, yeah.
Let me give you really quick, see if I can do this. Is this a real or a fake ESPN Megacast channel tonight?
Okay, good.
We should have come up with this. The Mouth of the South channel.
Paul Feinbaum.
You get the best of the SEC network all in one places where trash talking and no holds bar analysis is always welcome.
That's real, and I believe you can call into it, right?
I'm going to say real.
That's I think I just made that up. Yeah. I made that up.
Well done. If you did that, if you just made that up without a script, that was really impressive.
Now, there is a hometown radio on ACC Network and SEC Network where you get the hometown radio call, but there is no, I don't believe, like the Southern people who are trash talking.
I think that was well done, sir.
They would do that. It's. You may have created a channel for next year, Sylvie.
Right.
They just won't call it Mouth of the South. That's the only thing they won't do. Otherwise, though, it's spot on.
What about RefCast on the ESPN app, where you get all these former officials talking about how refereeing is going on in the championship game?
You've got that stupid smile on your face. I'm going to suggest that that's fake.
God, no, I hope not. I have a hard enough time when I hear the refs come in on a regular broadcast.
It's actually just a channel of the jacked ref from a few years ago just doing arm curls.
Actually, I might watch that.
Okay, that's
his
gross.
Workout. What was his name again?
That's creepy.
Who are you talking about? Hockley?
No. Don't you remember?
He's the dude who
put Hockley to shame.
That's right. Mm-hmm. We did have him on. How long ago was that?
Yeah. A couple years ago.
Four years ago, maybe?
This is actually a real thing.
Oh,
how about that?
Really?
I'm 2 for 2 here.
Yeah, I'm 0
and
for
I
two.
Just made up the game right now. RefCast on ESPN app, a Bristol-based production where John Perry, former NFL referee, Matt Austin, former SEC referee.
Hello, everybody. I'm out forever wrong.
Judson Howard from the Pac-12 replay officiating crew. Dave something. They're all together and they talk officiating.
Enough. That's no good. I don't want that. And you will not hear the 5 worst words in sports. Let's bring in Mike Carey.
How about this? The view from above. It's all brought to you by Mercedes as you get the best view in the house up above the Mercedes-Benz
dome. You're reading that, so you can't be making that up, so it's got to be real.
Abdallah.
But like a Skycam?
But you also got that I stole something from you look on
real.
Your face.
I think this is a real one. Skycam's a real one.
I need some nose spray.
I don't know.
Now, I dialed it up a little bit, but it is real.
I thought
I was making it up.
I'm like an all-star baseball player. I'm 1 for 3.
Skycap on ESPN app, the popular view from above the action and behind the offense on most plays. New this year, replays will be shown regularly through the presentation.
They should have, like, McAfee is crazy, and he does some stuff that's wildly entertaining. They should have him in the French Quarter. For it, like,
oh, yeah.
I'm not
just
even watching the game. I'm just bar surfing right now.
It's the sports view cam.
Yes,
the sports bar view cam.
Put a camera on like a headband, like a miner's hat.
He wears a
like
GoPro.
A miner. Yeah. Yes. There you go. That would be good.
They should do a contest every year where people get to like name sort of a mega cast channel that they could actually carry out and do.
Or you could go, my guess is Jay's not serving Dos Equis for a second straight night in that bar wherever he's at.
What about Bead Cam on Bourbon Street?
That gets really old, though. I got to tell you, I've only been to New Orleans once, and it was for a Super Bowl and the Beads thing.
It's 36-hour town, I'm just telling you. 36 hours is...
Is that still done there where people are just...
I mean, it's New Orleans. I would think so.
It's Schaumburg. It's done everywhere.
Really?
Yeah. Throw some beads. Yeah. Yeah.
Lost my pride, but I've got these beads.
So tonight, and we'll carry it. Sean McDonough's doing the game.
You know what, sir?
Right?
Sir, based by your own admission, you may go to New Orleans and come back with a suitcase full of beads these days, my friend.
Oh, because, I got B cups.
I'm just saying.
People are like, Sylvie,
I'm not telling you that. I'm saying based on your own admission. If you're looking for some beads, go to New Orleans and show them things off. Well, you've been telling us that you've got.
It's true. I mean, you've seen me in a swimming pool. Those are like 2 floaties right there.
I don't think it's as bad as you say. I think time doesn't do any of us favors.
Andy's in New Lenox. Andy, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up?
How's it going, guys?
We're good.
I just had a quick question of kind of about the Astros cheating scandal. I was wondering if because, you know, Altuve, he won that MVP in 2017. He had his best year of his career. He batted, I think, like 346 or 350 or something. I was wondering if it was going to, like, if this whole scandal is going to affect when it comes time for him to get into the Hall of Fame, because you guys know how the voters are.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at them wrong, they'll probably keep you out of the Hall of Fame.
That's a good point.
I know it's more of a team thing, like the team's being punished and he's not being punished individually, But I was just wondering if that's going to, you know, come back to bite them.
I think it's a great question because these guys were, listen, you still have to, if somebody's throwing you a baseball at 95 miles an hour, you still have to hit it. But if you know what pitch is coming, it makes your job as a professional baseball player, I would think, that much easier. I think it's a really good question.
Someone who is a Dodgers fan called into Carmen and Yurko and talked about, like, Clayton Kershaw's performance at Dodger Stadium, how good it was against the Astros. And then the next time out in the Dome, I think it was Game 5 or something, and he got lit
Didn't
up.
Didn't they have the same problem with Cubs pitcher?
Yu Darvish. Yeah.
Wasn't that similar?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, not so much Game 7 because that was at Dodger Stadium.
Right. But
earlier in that series. I hate... I saw someone on Twitter who I follow, a guy named Jared, who sent out, hey, what is the harshest penalty ever in sports? Where does this rank in some of the sports? Obviously, Pete Rose's, I think, is probably the worst.
Well, this isn't a lifetime ban, right. So this isn't, you know.
But what makes me mad is when these players who are great, who are on the Hall of Fame ballot, are still being, quote, punished. Why are you? Why are writers punishing them? They aren't they? If they were busted when they were playing, shouldn't that be the punishment? Why do these writers think they're vigilantes? And why aren't they letting it go already with Bonds and with Clemens and with Sosa? The Cubs, the way they keep punishing Sosa for whatever he did, whether it's not apologizing, he's again not going to the convention over the weekend. I mean, all these people who are the do-gooders of the world who think they've never done anything and they continue to hold like the, and I just feel like baseball throughout the years, Waddle, there's always been different levels of cheating. It is never gone away. It will always continue, whether through technology or through artificially enhanced drugs.
Is Gaylord Perry or
doctoring the baseball
or Necro, one of the Necros, or either anyone like that in the Hall of Fame?
It's always a good point when you bring that up. The guys who doctored the baseball. Why do you get to rank what is Hall of Fame worthy and what's not?
Well, listen, and to me, going back to the steroid era, it's always also to me. The nuance of the conversation is, yes, some guys allegedly were caught or were on a list or whatever, but who's to say that the, you know, just one of the ancillary relief pitchers on a team that one of these guys faced was also, I mean, you don't know who was taken and who wasn't taken. So in that era,
you don't know.
You have no idea.
Guys could have been hitting that many home runs against guys who were juicing as well.
Exactly. I don't know. I don't know who was doing what. So I'm just going to look at the whole situation. And I think you were the first person that I heard say, put them all in and just tell their story.
Tell the damn story. Barry Bonds, 700 blankety home runs. And throughout his career was accused of taking steroids. But in the end, he finished this on this list and this on that list and this. And you know what? You're in our museum right now. You judge him.
Right.
But this is what he did in baseball. And he's one of the best damn baseball players ever to play. But he's always been tagged by Balco.
Yeah.
He's always been tagged with this or that. Sammy Sosa corked his bat. Sammy Sosa lied, possibly, when it came to doing steroids. But Sammy Sosa still hit 600-some home runs, was on the 30-30 club, and, you know, created Wrigley Field as a destination because he was so great and sold millions of tickets.
How many guys in the history of the sport have hit 600 home runs?
Not a lot.
Like 10? Is it 10?
Right.
12? 10?
And then again, even the guys that you think are clean, how do we know?
I have no idea.
How do you know? Why are we judging this? Why are writers doing this? Why can these guys not get their due and just tell the damn story?
Nine players have hit 600
home
runs.
Nine players. A-Rod cheated. Suspended. He was suspended for cheating. A-Rod. Denied it. Write that on the plaque. Put it in. You're a damn museum. Educate us. Let me go to Cooperstown and see the best and tell me the story. What are we so scared
maybe
of?
Maybe pick up some HGH on the at the pharmacy down the street.
Right.
As
you
well,
get all
if you
these
need
new
it.
Natural stores.
Yeah, if you have a prescription for it, it's available.
The Jose Canseco experience. We have fake shots. Bend over and
excuse me?
I'll give you a shot of what Rafael Palmeiro called B12.
Okay, then.
But I don't, like, it's, I don't, it's always bothered me about baseball. I've hated it. Whether guys throughout the years have been able to take these greenies and they were legal, now they're illegal. Now players can't get the edge and the boost that they got in the 80s and on before then.
You know what's, I've been thinking about this a little bit. How much do you think this tarnishes the World Series for the Astros? Like, Sylvie, if the 2016 Cubs had this come down on them today, how do you think you'd feel?
That's
I'm just curious.
That's what I asked all of you guys in Crosstalk was, as a fan of the Cubs and Carmen as a fan of the White Sox, so I would ask you as well, Meller. I mean, how would you feel if the same thing happened to you guys that happened to
the
Astros?
It's a great question. I'm sitting here saying, being all tough, that I probably wouldn't bother me.
I don't think it would bother me. I think you get wrapped up in the fandom aspect of it, and it's weird because it was against the rules, so I understand MLB coming down hard on the Astros, but as a fan, you just want, if your team finds a way to win, generally you look the other way.
I think in 03 and 04, when they were doing, I get all mixed up now with the different reports, and when they tested these guys and they were supposed to be anonymous, I think that was one of the years. I believe that the 03 and the 03 Cubs and the 04 Red Sox were supposedly the biggest cheating teams.
Filled with guys.
Like that 03 Cubs that almost won the World Series, that lost in Game 7 to the Marlins, had a bunch of guys on that team who were juicing. And then the 04 Red Sox who broke the curse, they did win and they did come back. But does that make you feel differently about them?
No, ultimately, I don't think it does. I mean, it probably takes a little bit of the luster off, but you'll forget about it over the course of time.
312-332-3776. So that is one of the top stories today. Not lost is the NFL and what happened in the weekend. But I know some people want to talk about the cheating and the Astros scandal, which had A.J. Hinch and Jeffrey Luhnow suspended, then fired. $5 million fine and two draft picks taken away. 312-332-3776. How would you feel if this was your team? How do you feel about it in general? And the good, the bad, the dirty. It's all coming up next.
The good.
It's gone! Oh, my God!
The bad.
That is so bad, that is absolutely brutal.
And the dirty.
I'm talking about nasty.
Wow. So many stories are running through my head right now.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN Chicago.
That's right, the good, the bad, the dirty. It's brought to you by Waddle's Guys.
Yes, Comcast Business.
That's right, we'll go around the room. One thing good, one thing bad, one thing dirty. The Astros were dirty today. They were at least penalized. They've been dirty for cheating back to 2017 when they were using technology to cheat. And today, A.J. Hinch and Jeffrey Luhnow, their general manager, were suspended for a year, and then they were fired. Waddle wanted to correct me, too, there. How many draft picks did they end up losing?
I believe they lose four. I think they lose their first and second round in 2020 and their first and second rounders in 2021
as
well.
That is correct.
And fined $5 million. Which
has anybody been both suspended and then fired? I don't remember hearing that in sports before.
Yeah, I was trying to think of that, too, where
the league suspended you.
Yeah, and the team didn't stand by the guy.
Right.
Do you think the owner knew, though? Do you think he knew?
Know.
Do you think he heard whispers, you're the owner?
I don't know. I don't know how involved he is as an owner. I mean, listen, there are some sports and some owners where you would say absolutely they would know, but I'm not sure.
So we'll take your calls, 312-332-3776. We're guest-free the rest of the way, but Waddle, start us off with your good.
My good is the dominant defensive performance of the 49ers and their 27-10 win over the Vikings. So many things you can identify as good from the divisional playoff weekend, but they held the Vikings to 7 total first downs, and I believe 2 of those came in like the last garbage drive that they had. 147 total yards, and they sacked Cousins 6 times. They've gotten some guys back healthy. Dee Ford is one of them. Quan Alexander is another, and that defense is coming at you right now. I think they were very, very good.
Yeah, they couldn't run the ball when Dalvin Cook can't run. And when you're Kirk Cousins and you've got to bring that team back, he's got no chance. No chance.
Over.
My good is, did you see this on the ancillary of how great the Chiefs were yesterday? The Chiefs in the stadium ran out of fireworks.
Come on.
They ran out of fireworks. They were so good. They couldn't.
Seven straight touchdown drives.
Unless what I was reading was a joke. But I saw ESPN put on Instagram the message on the scoreboard that we apologize. We have run out of celebratory fireworks.
Did I see, like, it was also funny from that game. At one point, their mascot, they show him in the tunnel banging his head against the wall.
That was when it was 21-0.
And then after their seventh touchdown in a row, he was on the sidelines in a Hawaiian shirt celebrating.
That would be Casey Wolf. Yes. He was having a
day. Wasn't that hilarious? That was great.
It was good stuff.
Mallory, what's your good?
I'm gonna pile on your good, Sylvie, because the Chiefs, that whole game, the whole comeback, the way it unfolded was awesome. It was great drama to have the Texans jump out 24-0, and then the Chiefs just push the accelerator and show you how dominant they can be. You know what? I don't think the Texans did anything wrong. They never had a chance. Once the Chiefs gained the composure, I don't think the Texans ever had any ability to win that game. So it was just a fun game to watch.
I'm with you. I thought all along that the Chiefs were going to get the best of them in a big way. I mean, when they went down 24-0, my perspective changed a little bit, but I never bailed on them. I kept sending you guys texts about it, that as long as the Chiefs can find the way to get to down, you know, no more than 10 by half, they were going to be in the game. Lord didn't, you know, not bless me with the foresight to know that they were going to have the lead.
What was extra good about that was the fact that because the Texans jumped out the way they did, we got to really see Pat Mahomes on display, because sometimes coaches in playoff games will be conservative because they don't want anything to happen where they're the reason their team loses. But because the way the Chiefs fell behind, we were able to see Patrick Mahomes in all his majesty, and that was a fun watch.
All his majesty.
They're peaking at the right time. Like last year, they peaked in that Mexico City would-be game that was in California, wherever they played it. But they're peaking right now. That you've been on their defense for a while, that they're going to be different and better.
Well, I believe they were like one of the worst five run defenses in the league to start the year for the first X number of games, and over the last 6 weeks of the regular season, they were top five. They didn't have Chris Jones in that game last night either. So, I mean, you're exactly right. They have found their stride right at the right time.
All the way around. Abdallah, what's your good?
Oh, my good, guys. My guy, Derrick Henry, Roll Tide. 30 carries, 195 yards. He's got 377 yards in two games. His postseason, the most rushing yards in any two-game span in postseason history. It's jealousy. It's everything I want in the Bears running game and a running back, and he's great.
When did he really start living up to his billing? It took a while,
yeah,
didn't it?
Yeah, it did.
Well,
it was,
don't you remember that they were splitting carries with him?
DeMarco Murray.
DeMarco Murray
and then
early
Deion
in his
Lewis
career.
Came over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But he hasn't been this good, but I still think that he's been a quality player for the, you know, since the day he stepped onto the field for them.
Well, it's like they finally recognized that, you know what?
You got to keep giving it.
He's a 250-pound running back who actually gets better as the game goes on, the more carries we give him.
And the season goes on.
Yes. And so once they came to that realization, he's been able to really show off what he's capable
of. Okay, so in 2016, his rookie year, they only gave it to him 110 times. He had 490 yards. He averaged 4.5 carries. They gave it to him more in his sophomore season. He had 744 yards and averaged 4.2. Last year, he ran for better than 1,000 yards at 4.9 a clip. So over the course of his 4 years in this league, he's averaged 4.8 yards per carry.
But now they're finally
giving him more carries, for sure.
What's your bad?
My bad is connected to the 49ers as well. I told you guys earlier today in the meeting, like, there were a couple of discussion points that just, I knew they were coming and they rubbed me raw. And one was, I love Richard Sherman. He's a Hall of Fame player. But I heard him talk this way earlier in the season, that people are still disrespecting the 49ers. That conversation or that talking point or that narrative just always rings hollow to me about a team that is the number one seed and is favored by a better than a touch. Nobody is disrespecting the 49ers, are they?
No.
Is anybody? I mean, like, nobody's disrespecting Richard Sherman. Everyone talks about Richard Sherman as, even at this stage in his career, being one of the top defensive backs in the league.
I get tired of hearing, oh man, he's a zone corner. I get tired of hearing the excuses for why I'm great. It was man coverage. I covered the man. I picked the ball off. In the playoffs, in big games, I show up. I show up year in, year out, whether it's 2011, 2012, 2013, 2014. Yes. Unless I tear my Achilles, I'm out there and I'm doing my job at a high level. And I think I get tired of the excuses, you know, for why I'm good. Oh, my God, they're playing zone. Oh, my God, it was this guy. Oh, my God, it receiver slipped. Oh, my God. Why don't other people get those ops then?
I don't know many people who don't think he's awesome.
He's great. He's a great player. No, but he does create these fake fights. We saw it in front of our hands with the Baker Mayfield stuff.
Right?
He tried to create some sort of drama when it wasn't there, whether it hypes him or what.
And the other, just quick, the other narrative that I was just, to me, everything that's being said about Lamar Jackson, he's an elite player. He's an electric player. Yet he's 22 and he still has room to improve. And those people that are being overly critical are silly, and those people that are offended that anyone would criticize Lamar Jackson as well about needing to improve in certain aspects of his game, everyone needs to quit being so sensitive about Lamar Jackson. Acknowledge he was the league MVP this year. Understand he's 22. He's had a great run early in his career, and the likelihood of him only getting better is very real. I just thought all of the, you know,
a lot of yelling about Lamar Jackson.
Yes.
But in both directions. My bad is the Jimmy Graham play in the Packer game yesterday. Now, I don't believe the bad occurred in Al Riveron not reversing it, because I, too, don't think it's clear and obvious whether he was down or not. But I do think the spot was bad, and I'm pretty sure he was sure that his elbow went down. That was the first thing to go down. His knee didn't go down until later. But the elbow down is down.
Yep.
And I thought he was well shy of the first down marker. What did you think?
Well, I thought it was a tough call. I would not have been surprised had they decided to
move it back.
Yeah. Now, the yellow line thing's a different conversation because that's not the official mark. They decided that there was not enough evidence for it. I was surprised. I was also surprised earlier in the game, as I said, in crosstalk, that they decided that there wasn't a clear recovery of that ball that the tight end from Seattle fumbled.
Right, and that the Packers seem to have the football. What do you have, Mellor? What's your bad?
It's funny that we brought up Derrick Henry and how it took the Titans a little bit of a while to figure out just how to use him. Because you know who knew how to use him? His high school coach. Did you happen to see Derrick Henry's stats surface over the weekend? His high school stats, where he averaged 252 rushing yards per game in his career, well, those were boosted because in his senior season, when he played 13 games, he had 462 carries for 4,261 yards.
Wow.
And 55 touchdowns.
Well, he was also the same size as a senior in high school, I think, as he is now.
Like Andy Reid in the punt, pass, and kick video.
Did you see the video? It's incredible how much bigger he is than everybody.
It was crazy to see a high school coach abuse a high schooler the way he was as a runner.
How many touches?
462 carries in 13 games.
He only had 303 carries this year in the regular season with the Titans.
And he had over 4,000 yards, almost 10 yards a clip?
Yeah, 9.2 yards per carry. Wow. 55 touchdowns.
Abdallah, you're bad.
My bad is Saturday's games. And it's because every time I'm watching, as the games go on, and I'm watching a team, and I'm watching two teams that combined, that both won, they threw for a combined 20 or 33 times, and they rushed for a combined 84 times. And I'm thinking, and they both have very good defenses. The 49ers defense is really good. The Titans defense is okay. It's not as good as the Bears. I keep thinking to myself, the Bears should be in here. The Bears should be in here because if you have a game plan like that, where you only allow your quarterback to throw 14 times in a game, That's how you win games if your quarterback is bad. Like Ryan Tannehill, two great touchdown passes. But other than that, he just managed the game. He just didn't screw up.
But
and just handed the ball. And you look what Jimmy Garoppolo did. As soon as he threw that first interception, they were like, nope, we're going to run it 30 out of the next 32 times because I don't trust you and you're not costing us a football game. And that's what they did. Matt Nagy can't do that. And that's what's so upsetting. So yeah, they were great games.
But you're a Nagy
guy. I'm a Nagy guy because
Are you such a Nagy guy if you're so pissed off about it?
Because he still needs to be able to adjust. I can acknowledge that he's going to be a good play caller in this league, but needs to adjust and he needs to not be stubborn.
The problem is, Adam, that those two teams are built to play that way. Our team isn't. Now, I'm with you. They need to commit more to running the football, even though they're not built
like
the Titans.
Nagy.
No, I'm with you.
I'm being
serious. I mean, they're not built like either of those teams. The tackles for both teams are former number one first round draft picks.
We got Charles Leno.
Staley on one side and McGlinchey on the other.
I got Leno and Massey.
I got Conklin and Luan on the other. I mean, they are built to play the game that we're not.
I'm with you.
That doesn't mean we shouldn't run the ball more, because we should. But anyone who thinks we're going to magically turn into the Titans is a complete lunatic. We're not built like the Titans.
I'm
totally
with you. How about I'm throwing Meller under the bus here because I'm asking him for a bite on the fly. There's a Kyle Shanahan bite about him running the ball and adjusting and saying, hey, we didn't plan on running 32 times or whatever it was, 47 right. times, but we did.
That's good coaching. But they're also designed, Adam, they also averaged 144 rushing yards per game. Only the Ravens ran for
more. But the Bears aren't designed to throw it 55 times with Trubisky.
But they're also not built to run it as much as those two.
What are they built for?
They're built for somewhere in the middle. That was the angst I was trying to put on display in the first part of the show.
Here's what Bears fans need to do. Every Bears fan, and don't be vulgar, don't be mean, just, you remember how we used to send mail in the mail? In the snail mail through the post office, get a postcard, address it to Matt Nagy at Hal's Hall, and just write.
No, don't do this.
And just write, no, did you watch the Titans game? Just that's it. And say, big fan, and sign your name.
Did you watch the 49ers game? Did you watch either game?
Did you watch the 49ers and Titans game?
No, Waddle, I can see your frustration.
Did you ever
watch
a Colts
game
yesterday?
But the problem is you've got to be somewhere in the middle. You can't be the team that throws it 55 times a game because you're not good at that. You can't be the team that runs it 55 times a game.
I get it. I'm with you.
But
at the same time, when your quarterback almost throws three interceptions, actually does throw one interception, you go, not today, kid, and you take the ball out of his hand.
Right. You're absolutely right. I'm surprised Waddle's going where he's going. He's right. You're right in the general terms. But to throw the guy 55 times with a shoulder injury out of the bye and to admit that you gave up on running three plays in.
Why do you think I said to you, I'm more concerned about the Bears after watching the Chiefs yesterday, not just because of Mahomes, but because of what they're trying to do with imperfect personnel. But I'm telling you, if they come out and run it 55 times behind that offensive line and don't throw it at all, you're going to be equally pissed off because they're not built to do that.
I know we need to run the ball more. Really, I'm not an idiot.
You're dirty.
My dirty is the entire Cleveland Browns coaching search. And now the job was given to Stefanski. And if I read this correctly, every Friday there's going to be a meeting. They're going to take the game plan and give it to the analytics department and have them go over it. Well, from experience, you put your game plan in on Wednesday, so you practice it Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. If your analytics department's going to be hands-on, maybe they should be hands-on Monday and Tuesday when you're developing the plan, and not Friday after you've practiced it for three freaking days.
Taking the Browns to the Super Bowl.
They do things wrong all the time. Did you know who hired Stefanski with the Vikings? Bears connection.
I don't know.
Because he's been there forever.
Spielman?
Childress.
Oh, Chili.
Chili hired him. Brought him in originally.
I don't think he's a bad hire.
Yeah. He should have got the job last year. They nearly hired him. How about this? Did you guys see the Michael Thomas story? Michael Thomas was tweeting out about the Vikings and how happy he was that they lost, even though they got beat by the Vikings. But he didn't like the way they conducted themselves. So this guy, Andrew Doak, who works for WWL in New Orleans and covers the Saints, says if your team was eliminated from the playoffs, it's usually not the best idea to talk smack all day on Twitter. Michael Thomas responds and says, same couch I sat on every week after leading the league in every category week in and week out while you were searching for a story, Goofy. So Andrew Doak responded back, don't be a bad sport. Be respectable. Move on. Get him next season. Your stats speak for themselves. We know you're a baller, but you lost fair and square after a great season. Deal with it in a better way. Be well, Mike. Uh-oh. Michael Thomas said, nope, this is my platform. You follow me and watch me. Know your place. Like I said, you don't know me, and you ain't never played this sport, so keep your advice for your intramural team. And Andrew Doak went back at him, and he says, and you don't know me either. I'm done with the Twitter fingers. If you ever want to talk in person in the locker room, I'll see you there. Good night. To which Michael Thomas responded, watch your mouth before I have to pop you in it before you even make it to the locker room. Good night.
Damn. It was like a year ago. Oh. You better be careful before I punch you in the face, champ.
Well, you think that was good. I've got one to escalate on top of that, Sylvie. Now, allow me a moment because I know not all our listeners are the biggest hockey fans. I know you and Waddle know this, but we had a regular brouhaha in Calgary the other night.
A brouhaha.
Matthew Tkachuk, son
God
of
bless
Keith.
You. That's a hockey name.
He was seeking out Zach Cassian, who is the Edmonton Oilers, a bit of an enforcer. And Zach Cassian did not love the fact that Tkachuk had gone after him a couple times during the game with some checks. And so Cassian basically just dropped the gloves and started pummeling Matthew Tkachuk.
Yeah,
after the game,
crushed him.
The press sought out Zach Cassian, and they asked him what he thought of having a chance to finally go blow to blow with Matthew Tkachuk, and this is what he said.
100%. If you're going to hit like that, you have to answer the bell every once in a while. Like, it's especially 1, 2, 3 in the game. He got me in the third. He followed me in the corner, right? Like, he's clearly trying to target me, which I like. Like, I'm standing here. I love that stuff. I wish we could play him in a day and a half in, like, a playoff series, right? It was fun for me. We lost the game. It sucks. But all in all, he's just a young punk that has to figure that aspect out in the game. It's sad because he's a pretty good player, but he's a to be honest, straight up. That's the definition of it. He wouldn't fight me 2 years ago. Said I was a fourth liner. Now I have 13 goals. What's the excuse now? You know what I mean?
Yeah, he used the word that you thought.
Yeah,
he used.
The cat word, yeah.
Guys, he went there.
Well, we never hear that in hockey.
I'm going to use my dirty to bring you some hot NFL Bears chatter, according to Ian Rappaport. The Bears are hiring former Bengals offensive coordinator Bill Lazor as their new offensive coordinator. An important hire for Matt Nagy after moving on from Mark Helfrich.
Okay, we'll talk about that coming up next.
The Bears freaking Lazor's in the building.
Yeah, I do believe that they work together in Philly. I got to double check
Bill
that.
Bill obviously doesn't like to call plays.
Yeah, it's going to be true. You're right about that. Does he want to run the ball at all? I mean, so the Bears have a new OC who's really not the OC, but he was hired as the OC. It's all next.
This is Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Please stop using lasers aiming at the field. Do not aim a laser at the field, at the coaches, the players. Stop.
Didn't that happen in Kansas City? Was that when Tom Brady was playing there?
I think so, yeah.
So the new Bears offensive coordinator, according to the NFL Network, is someone that Brad Biggs wrote about in the Tribune. And that's it's either Bill Lazor, like the laser, or is it...
Did you say Pan? Pan?
Well, how did you think Pan? It could be...
Lazor?
Lazor?
Lazor.
Lazor.
Lazar?
I believe. Pan. I believe he's French. I believe it's Lazor.
Lazor. Lazor.
Bill Lazor.
No, I believe it's...
Lazor.
I believe
laser?
It's...
Like the,
laser?
Like laser focus?
Like laser gun?
Like Mitch is going to be throwing lasers?
No,
like
no, it's definitely
laser
not
beams
that.
On their helmets. Yeah, I just want Austin Powers on it.
I don't mean this to be like to sound awful, but I don't believe the offensive coordinator role in the Bears hierarchy is all that important because the head coach is the lead game planner and the play caller.
I think anyone you can get to help would be important. I know he's not calling plays, but maybe he could get someone to convince Nagy to do some other stuff. So he's been all over the place. And Bill Zimmerman, who I follow from Mad Dog Radio, he's connecting the dots between...
the Red Rifle?
With Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton, you know, a lot of people think can be had here, that the Bengals are done with him, and he could be a good guy to have as your 1A. If Mitch is your 1, he could be your 1A.
I just remember
he could
Andy
be a
Dalton
Ryan
taking a beating on this show for years.
I never liked him. I mean,
years,
but
now he may be lined up under center for you if things go awry early in the year.
The bar is low. The bar is low, so he...
But, yeah, truth be told, Andy Dalton as a backup quarterback is enticing. The problem is when Mitch is your starter. Not as enticing.
So, who knows, but maybe he could take over. But so this guy was... He was last with the Bengals from 16 to 18. He's been around the block. He's been with Washington. He's been with Seattle, the Eagles for the year. It was not the year I do, with Nagy. That was with Chip Kelly.
Chip Kelly was calling the plays then, too.
The Dolphins for a couple years with Ryan Tannehill, and then he was with the Bengals from 16 to 18.
Look, I just, again, this is all hires are important hires, but This is not a hire made by a defensive-minded head coach who's turning his entire offense over to the offensive coordinator. This is a hire made by an offensive-minded head coach who is the basically the offensive coordinator and play caller, who is bringing another voice into the building. How loud that voice will be, I don't know. But this, like I said, this isn't like Vic Fangio hiring Pat Shurmur to be his offensive coordinator and turning the offense over to him.
Well, it used to be a huge deal in Chicago when the Bears would hire a new offensive coordinator. It was always because they had a defensive coach.
Correct.
But now, yeah, you're right.
This is
Nagy. If they're going to improve it, it has to do with Nagy and Trubisky.
Yes.
And maybe this guy's coached quarterbacks all his life, so hopefully he could help tutor him a little bit better.
But then you are, yes, and then another voice may help, but Dave Ragone is here and has thought highly enough of that they're going to keep Dave to be the quarterback's coach. So I really, this to me is not a huge deal. Again, I don't mean to be, you know, disrespectful to Bill Lazor, but... But it's a position that, like, this is what I said to you earlier. It's great to think, like, okay, we're bringing a new mind that can add. Who's coming here if you have hopes of being, like, in charge of an offense and calling plays? This isn't your spot because
well,
the head coach is doing that.
They did want Shurmur, but now, you know,
he's going to Denver.
Our old buddy fired his offensive coordinator 14 days after he said he was safe. Because I think he knew he could get Shurmur, well, and that's why he did it.
And look, if I'm Pat Shurmur, as much as I may like Matt Nagy, why would I come here and not have a voice or play calling duties, or I can go to Denver and do what I'm, you know, excited about doing?
All right, so we have the national championship game coming up in a couple of hours. We have the NFL playoffs. We have a new OC for the Bears, and we have one of the biggest penalties in sports history come down today in baseball. We'll fill you in on all that coming up next.